The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned the manager and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. The manager said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will grant to you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you this day. Pastor Deb is away in Pennsylvania having just a second small funeral service for her mother with another side of the family, so that's where she is today. But Sunday school starts and we're ready to go. It's a good day. So grace and peace to you. There's a comedy show on TV that makes me laugh. It's called Whose Line Is It Anyway? Has anybody ever seen that one? Five professional comedians get up and they make points, and points don't matter, and no one who knows who will win. And at the end of the day, it's just great fun. The facilitator and the audience, they throw out categories for these professional comedians to act upon, and they pretend and they make up scenarios on this spot. They make up lyrics to songs. For those of us watching, it seems seamless and hilarious, even though we know for professional improvisation, there are rules to make improv work. Whose line is it anyway? It's really fun. But the question today is, whose money is it anyway? The parable that I just read from Luke 16 sounds very strange to our ears. Why would Jesus say, make dishonest money? Why would he commend, by telling this story, why would he commend a manager who cooks the books? Why does the owner congratulate this dishonest manager? And then Jesus says, well, be faithful. Whose line is it anyway? As you already know, the context of a parable is important. Jesus tells stories about grapes. He tells stories about sheep because people drank wine like we drink water. And there were sheep and shepherds grazing on hillsides. There were things that they naturally understood. So for first century Jews, if Jesus started telling a parable about a master and a manager, they would immediately have known what he was talking about. They would have immediately understood that the master was God and the manager was ancient Israel, the covenantal people, God's people. The master was God and the managers were God's people. Also, there's a crisis coming. So Luke, it's written 50-60 AD, and we know in 70 AD that the temple in Jerusalem is completely destroyed. Rome comes and crushes the very center of faith and life for the people. They will lose land and identity. Their center of worship is going to be gone. What are they going to do? Will they be ready? And where will they live? So that line in there about eternal homes, where are you going to live? You can't ever take a parable completely literally. You just can't. It's a story to tell and convey a particular meaning. But here's what we do know, all right? No Jew was allowed to earn interest off of money. That was considered illegal. And the way they got around it was to exchange in-kind commodities like wheat or oil. And furthermore, the owner in the story probably had already increased his prices to make a profit. And so the manager is just lowering the prices of those oil and wheat commodities so that his master doesn't have to own up to the facts that he's cooking the books anyway. How creative. No wonder the owner commends this dishonest manager. So again, Jesus' hearers would have understood God to be the owner and themselves to be the manager. Jesus is in essence saying, look, Israel, you're God's covenantal people, and you've not been faithful with what God has given you. And when Rome comes to demolish you, you might lose all of it, and what are you going to do? You're the children of light, and yet you don't know how to navigate and manipulate the world like the children of the world do. Maybe it's not about following all the rules. Maybe it's time to make some friends in new ways, because that might just be what saves you when Rome comes. Whose money is it anyway? Whose money is it anyway? Is money just like a comedy routine that we can throw around for the next person to catch? Is money like shares that we can just write off on our taxes or sell on the stock exchange to make more? Is money the stuff that we hide under the mattresses, hoarding it so that we have enough when the day comes? Do we own money? Or does money own us? Do you remember the comedian Jack Benny? He made being cheap a part of his acts. So a man walks up to Jack Benny on the street, puts a gun in his ribs, and says, "Your money or your life?" And Jack Benny does that thing he always used to do, you know, by putting his hand in his chin. And there's a long pause, and the mugger jabs him again with the gun and demands, "Your money or your life?" And Jack Benny says, "I'm thinking, I'm thinking." Whose money is it anyway? We have a parable in today's text, and now we get around to the moral of the story. Jesus says, be faithful. Be faithful in a little, and if you're faithful in a little, you can be faithful in much. What God has given to us, every breath that we take, the family that sits around our table, the church that we worship in, the cars that we drive, the skills that we have to make money, everything that we have and that we are is given to us by God. It's a gift. And those things, family and friends and breath and children, are not ours to own. Those things are just on loan to us from God. They're given to us in trust by God. And so we get to be the faithful managers, the faithful stewards. Our wealth is not ours. Wealth belongs to God. Whose money is it anyway? It's God's, not ours. And if we really believe that, I think that that understanding can transform our whole lives. It's not my house. It's God's house. It's not my car. God's gift of transportation to me as I try and live faithfully. Not my possessions. God's possessions to be used for God's glory. Not even my children. God's children that I just get to raise for a short period of time and bring up in them godly values. Whose money is it anyway? It all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And if God has put our homes in our hands to care for, are we going to let our properties get run down? Uh-uh. If God has entrusted children to us to raise, then perhaps we enlist God more in our parenting responsibilities. If God has given us skills to earn money, then we understand we're called to share that with others. The moral of the story, which we can take literally, is Jesus' words, "Be faithful in a little, and you'll be faithful in much." And so we can be faithful. We can be faithful to God with our bank accounts. We can be faithful to God in our marriages, in our relationships, in our work lives, in how we use every hour of the day. Faithful in caring for others, because they belong to God too. So it's not just my own, but I care for other people as well. True story. Years and years ago, a woman was panicking at an airport. Her own mother had to get down one concourse to check a flight, to get to a flight, and she and her little daughter had to get down another concourse. Mom is elderly, and she says to her mother, "Can you get down to the gate by yourself?" No, I need somebody to go with me. And she's checking her watch. How am I and my daughter going to get to my gate? So the mom says to her young daughter, "Sweetheart, I want you to just stay right here while I take Grandma to her gate." Now, this was years ago, when in the day and age when security wasn't so tight and a stranger danger didn't exist quite as much. So mom says, "Sweetheart, just stay here." Grandmother yells in front of everybody, "You can't leave Susie by herself. She's not going to be okay." To which a male voice standing behind them said, "Oh yes, she'll be okay. I'll stay with her." The mom turns around. It's Joe DiMaggio. True story. Joe DiMaggio stoops over and says, "Hi, Susie, I'm Joe. I'm going to stay with you until your mom gets back." Whose daughter is it anyway? It's God's. And it's all of ours to care for. Whose money is it anyway? I think how we answer that question can change our whole lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.